Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Upfront and Undivided with Luke and Dina. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I was just, before we came down, I was changing out sheets because we got friends. Spring break, friends, Gabri's coming.
I was going to say Gabri's friends.
Yeah, we don't have friends coming.
Today.
And so I was changing out the sheets and everything downstairs, and I was trying to listen to the interview of you and Mr. Flagger.
Yes.
And I didn't get very far in, but I always get thrown with your intro music compared to our music,
yeah.
Compared to me and my girlies music. Yep. And I'm like, we are just kind of eclectic.
Yes, we are.
We've got a really good mix in the scene. And it's like right now I can hear Marsha going, you just like everything. You like everybody and you like everything. And it just doesn't. And I'm like, I think it's just because we're just easy for the most part. I mean, we like what we like, and what we don't like, we don't make a big deal of.
Yeah.
And just kind of move on and just march to our own beat. Like our sweet little one we're making ramen.
Yeah.
And I've got him into this groove where, because, you know, he gets the fidgets sometimes.
Yeah.
And I was walking up with the sheets. They're dirty sheets, putting them into the laundry room. And he goes, Mom, dance. Because the microwave's going on and we're cooking the ramen. And so we danced to whatever was in our heads and it was not the same.
No.
But it's good.
It looked fun.
We got to keep it fresh around here.
Yeah.
Do you even say that? Keep it fresh. Are we in the 70s? I don't know. It's fine. Yeah. I was born in the 70s. It's okay.
Yeah.
I sound a little muffled in my head, but I think it's because of my hat. You think?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's just like everything's right here.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Because again, you got us new headsets and I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah.
But it's good. I like that I can hear you. I sound a little funny in my brain. But again, we know that I put a hat on and...
It's so funny. I giggle, and there's a little part of me that gets a little frustrated.
I know
sometimes I have trouble hearing, but it's like you muffle your ears with a hat, toboggan, whatever.
Or my hair.
Or your hair.
It's hair today.
All of a sudden you think that you're loud, so you get quieter. And I do so often. I'm like, but you're really not that you're not that loud.
I'm sorry.
No.
It is. It's just it's flashbacks of when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I've said it before, but just when I was a kid.
I mean, for me, you have.
Yeah, just when I was a kid. And this isn't, listen, guys, this is not trauma. This is not freaked out weird. It fascinates me at times to see how some things just stick where other things roll off of us, right? And I was a loud kid.
Yeah.
And our son and our daughter get it honest. They both can be incredibly loud.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way. We're just happy people. And our volume usually matches our energy is what happens. And I, over time, from a grandparent, was told, I think, just one too many times, Andrea, you're just talking too loud. I need you to stop talking so loud. Because that's my middle name for those playing along. It's one of my middle names.
Yeah.
Dina Michelle Andrea. So, but yeah, I'd always hear, Andrea, you're too loud. You need to stop talking so loud. Yes, grandmother. And I think just over time, I got really quiet. And I think a lot of it is, I combat the voices in my head that spirit of rejection that tries to come up every so often that I had to battle really hard for. And then, just that I don't fit in quite. I just don't. And I never have. And I have within the last, 15 years have said, it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't fit in. And that's the way that God designed me. And I'm sad that it took me this long, but I'm here.
Yeah.
So, but I do, it's louder in my head than it is out there in normal people land. So if you guys are talking to me on a regular basis, Heather has the same issues.
Yes.
We've got different friends that bless your dad. I have to literally get his attention before I speak.
Yeah.
But
that's even with his hearing aids.
That's even with his hearing aids. Yeah. but yeah, it's one of those where I need to be more intentional with my volume. I think I do better than
most days.
But it's something about the hats on. I'm loud.
Yeah.
Even in my brain, and I'll work on it, babe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I said all that to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I will work on it and it will get better. I promise.
No, I know.
So what are we talking about today?
So today, we were talking a little bit earlier today. And for this episode, I wanted to call it Living Out Loud.
Which is funny. Loud.
Yes.
Loud. The word loud. But see, everybody's about to learn. I'm loud in a different way.
Yes. Okay. Yes, you are.
So what came with this thought? How did this happen?
So I think it just kind of, this came from a few different spots. You know, part of it was just, how do we live? Part of it is, you know, how do we portray ourselves as Christians in the world? How do we portray ourselves as a married couple in the world?
Because where were we Saturday?
Well, I'm
sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Because kind of like part of this also references back episode 48, Do I Look Married?
Yes.
So if you want kind of a little extra on this, go check out that episode.
Yeah.
Saturday... I almost said Friday. I don't know why. But Saturday, we went to Comic-Con. Planet Comic-Con here in Kansas City.
First time ever.
It was a blast. It was fun. And
Took Sebastian.
Yep. Yeah. And there were a couple situations that we had. Not in a bad way, but just kind of stuff that we saw, stuff that, you know, interactions that we had, and, you know, some were positive, some weren't as positive. And it was just, it made us think, how are we living our lives?
Right.
Because one of the first things we saw was there was somebody talking loudly. He was, I don't know if you would say evangelizing or just...
It's called street evangelism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, I don't know the term for this.
Street corner evangelism.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's like, I get it. I understand it. You know, you want to share the gospel. You want to share the word of God. You want to share the goodness of God.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you get filled, you can't help but share the goodness. You're like, oh my gosh, I feel so good. And I feel so free. I have to share this. I want to share this. I want everybody to feel this awesome and amazing.
Yeah.
And he was like, I mean, there were a whole bunch of people just lined up outside the convention center waiting to get in. And he's just standing on the opposite street corner, you know, yelling, not yelling belligerently, but, you know, trying to be heard. And it's, you know, stuff like, you know, well, you know, Aquaman and you know DC, but do you know the savior of the world? And it's like, that's cool, but then he went into, you know, how dare all of you parents expose your kids to this? And how dare you, you know, it's like, wait, why are you shaming? Why are you trying to shame people?
Condemnation.
Yeah.
There was a lot of condemnation.
You know, and it just seemed, and it was one of those things that, again, we want to share the goodness. We want to do that, but we don't want to, you know, basically beat people over the head with it.
Correct.
You know, it's like conversation that I had with your brother Bobby when I, you know, one of the first times I met him, and we were talking about people that were living a sinful life. And it's like, you know, I kind of challenged him with where I had come from. And it's like, are people more likely to change their ways and repent and see that, oh, Christianity is a good way to go if you're going to yell at them and belittle them and shame them and guilt them?
Tell them or, that they're disgusting and all of the things,
Or is it, I'm going to be your friend.
Yeah.
And through my friendship with you, you're going to see the goodness of God because I'm doing my best to live it out loud in front of you.
Right. Or not even so much just being a friend, just being somebody that is kind.
Yeah.
Like, I call it kind of the drive-by kindness, you know. When we were, and I think the beautiful thing about that, let me finish up that conversation with you and my brother. The beautiful thing is because you responded in such a kind, loving way, very humble way, it actually convicted my brother. And that's, he would come on this right now and just, he would say, yeah, he was absolutely convicted in it. And it helped, I think it helped heal some stuff inside of him. And I think it also just helped shine some light on how we just need to go about things. Fast forwarding, going back to Saturday, when we were in line, you know, we had Sebastian really close to us, and it was just the two of us, along with hundreds of people in this line. And as we're listening to this man, and he's an older guy, yelling, you and I looked at each other, and the look on both, I know the look on your face, and I'm thinking probably the look on mine too. We were just heartbroken because here we are just trying to literally shift and change and set an atmosphere, right? Just set an atmosphere. And that morning before we even left the house, Gabriel was getting ready for work. That's where she was, or she would have come with us. Again, she works at the hospital. She's with all of these babies. Every room is different. She gets to decide if she's going to be the thermostat or the thermometer.
Yeah.
She gets to decide if she's going to match whatever that is. And if it's a bad attitude, then she's going to walk away with a bad attitude. Or she gets to change the atmosphere and actually, you know, just bring some peace into the room. And so before we left, or before she left, I prayed over all of us. And that was the thing that I said was, Father, I thank you that as we walk into this arena today, that we're going to walk into the goodness of who you are. We're going to set the atmosphere. We're going to be the spirit beings that you've called and created us to be and carry your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, you're going in front of us, that you're going to pour out of us and then surround us and keep us safe. Right. Because for those that don't know, I mean, Comic-Con, it can get kind of gnarly. It can, it has a lot of supernaturally it's good and bad. It's got a mixed bag of everything. And you and I, have learned how to just, spirit walk, basically.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, lead us, show us what you want us to do. We're not going to go down, buddy. You know what? And we're teaching Sebastian how to do that. We've taught Gabriel how to do that. You know, the spirit of, you get a check in you get a peace in you. Again, when we did the episode and we talked a little bit about the parade, and I don't know if it was you and I that talked about it or it was me and the girls. I know the girls and I talked about it.
Yeah.
But basically, Gabriel and Marsha's daughter and one of their friends, they were walking and they allowed the Spirit of God to move them and to stop them.
Yeah.
So they were in harm's way when the shootings were happening.
Yeah.
And so it's like when you know who you are And when you know whose you are, you walk in a different space. Like, we almost had a riot happen, sort of. We say it. I mean, just there was about to be a fight. Somebody was getting angry. And one of the people finally turned the whole line around and said, all right, everybody, we're just going to go in one big clump.
We're going to ignore the line that's been established, and everybody's just going to go.
Everybody's just going to go. Yeah. And this is after we'd been there for almost 2 hours in the line. You know, it's like, for a 9-year-old standing in a line, granted it was moving the whole time, but you know, it could be taxing for us too. And we just said, what are we grateful for?
Yeah.
You know, the weather is beautiful. Thank you, Father, that we're fine, you know? And what we started seeing is when we were speaking out loud, just the goodness that was going on, hey, bud, let's just enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
We're watching the family in front of us starting to soften and not get as agitated.
Right.
And it's like, that's who we need to be. That's what the people of God should be looking like.
Yeah. And that's true. And again, it's the what, you know, it is part of it is what atmosphere are you bringing with you?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But then the other situation that happened was a little more positive. But it was, we stopped at an artist's booth, and, you know, he looked at you and he's like, oh my gosh, you have such an infectious smile. And then a little later it was, you know, oh my, you know, are you always in a good mood, or what is there something special going on?
Yeah.
You know? And it was, you know, you're like, ask my husband. And I was like, yeah, she's happy most of the time. So, you know, but it's bringing that joy with us into every situation. It's bringing that, you know, even if we're having a bad day, we do our best to remember why we're here.
That's
and who put us here.
That's it.
You know,
because every day is an opportunity.
Yeah.
Every opportunity is an opportunity, right? Like, even in the bathroom, I think of Father God, like I had to work it through just a second, but it was like the women's restroom. There were 8 stalls, but only 2 of them were working. I end up talking to the ladies around me because it's taking so long to get there.
Yeah.
One of them ended up donating one of her kidneys. So I'm like, dear God, get right in front of me.
Not at the convention.
But she had given away one of her kidneys. So she was struggling. Like, she's struggling to hold it together.
Yeah.
Listen, the pee-pee dance, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm looking at the other young lady that's a vendor, and she's getting frustrated because, like, she's losing money, potentially all of the things. And I told both of them, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
I am so sorry, because they were like, this is the worst Comic-Con and I can't Kansas City, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm so sorry. I'm from Kansas City. Like, literally, like, this is where I'm from. And I'm so sorry. I hope you guys come back and give us another chance, you know, kind of thing. But, after kind of just letting her go to the restroom, helping her out, all of the things, coming back, we're all washing our hands together, and she just turns and looks at me. She goes, thank you for restoring the humanity of Kansas City to me. And it's like, neither one of us are saying, you know, saying out the name of Jesus.
No.
But we're responding like Jesus. Our actions have Jesus. This man is shouting Jesus, right? He's shouting God. His actions weren't welcoming, right?
Yeah.
We didn't say anything, but our actions spoke volumes to everybody. Everybody that encountered us that day knew there was something different.
Yeah.
Because if you looked around the arena, I would have to say 90% of the people did not look like they looked like they had resting faces. They did not look like they were doing well, right?
Yeah.
And so it was like just taking that time to say, even if you're having a bad day, I'm going to leave you better than I found you.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Yeah.
And then we got to meet Adam Savage in the middle of all of that. For those of y'all that don't know, that is Mythbusters guy.
Yes. Yeah. But it also when we're, you know, thinking about this topic and you know, living out loud and all, it reminds me of something that, you know, even our daughter has said to us of, mm-hmm. you know, hey, mom and dad, when you're out in public, even if you don't say anything, you look married.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. you look like you're together and
we
actually
look like
happy
we're
about
happy.
It.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and so it's like in this walk as, you know, not just being Christians, but in this walk of being in a relationship, being in a marriage, you yeah. know, it's like if people were to see you walking down the street or if they were to see you in Walmart,
mm-hmm.
would they assume that you're a couple or would they assume that you're just walking near each other?
Mm. Whether you have are holding hands or not.
Right.
Like, do you look like you even want to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one of the fun places to go outside and just wander, you know, I mean, we've got a few here in KC, you know, but like, you know, we like to go to the plaza,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's restaurants, there's shops, there's, it's yeah. just fun.
Yeah.
You know, all sorts of couples walking around and it's like some are on first dates, some are, you know, celebrating 50th wedding anniversaries,
yeah.
you know, and so you've got everything
yeah.
in between. And it is, it's like, it's looking at the people. It's like, do they look like they belong together?
Right.
Do they look like they want to be together?
Right.
And, you know, I think out of all of this, that's what I kind of want to encourage is when you look at your spouse, your partner,
mm-hmm.
you know, what have you, whatever you want to call them, your person.
Yeah.
You know,
that's Sebastian's favorite way to say it.
It is.
It's my
yeah.
person.
Yes.
It's your person.
You know, but it's like, it's like, I want to say, do you want to be there?
Do you want to be there? Yeah.
You know?
And does your face match it?
Right.
Does the spirit that's inside of you match it? Because here's the reality. Because I want you to share this a little bit. Because of the joy, because of the peace, because of the goodness that you saw in a next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Is why you are here today.
Yeah. So kind of, I don't even know if I've shared this on Equipped Man, but kind of my testimony, if you will, of how I even became a Christian was I was sharing an apartment with my sister,
mm-hmm.
And our neighbor happened to be, our neighbors happened to be a younger married couple, you
yeah.
know, probably in their mid to late 20s. And I was a smoker back then, so I was always outside smoking, and I got to know what cars belong to what apartment.
Yeah.
You know, because what else am I going to do while I'm outside smoking? I'm just going to watch people because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I noticed this couple over time, and I eventually just started chatting with them and found out they were Christians. And I thought that was really weird because they were out late on like Saturday and Friday nights, and they're like, we were going to church. And I'm like, no, really, where were you going?
Yeah.
You know, because I wasn't a Christian back then. And it was, I got to know this guy. You know, he basically became my friend, and
yes.
he never initiated a conversation about the Bible or Jesus or religion. He would wait until I brought it up.
Yeah.
You know, and it was back then I was looking at a lot of stuff about, you know, especially about a lot of bad news reports about pastors that were doing bad things.
Sure.
You know, and
sure.
I'd be like, man, I hate it when churches do this, when pastors do that. And he's like, oh, my church doesn't do that. My pastor doesn't do that. I'm like, okay, whatever. But he would never defend it past that.
Yeah.
He would just kind of leave it as, oh, we're not like that.
Yeah.
Or my, you know, I'm not like that. And
yeah.
just leave it kind of open-ended. He's like, I'm not going to explain it, but if you ask, I will.
Sure.
And it was really cool that he left it like that because we did. We got to talking, and we just talk about a little bit of everything. And, you know, there was once or twice where he was like, hey, if you ever want to come to church with us, here's where we, you know, here's when we go.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, whatever, dude. Knowing that I would never take him up on it.
Yeah.
And then one Friday evening, it was a really beautiful day in November for for some reason. Like, I was, I think, t-shirt and jeans on a motorcycle. Nice day in November. It was really weird. But I got off my bike, and I instead of going to my apartment, I knocked on his door, and I'm like, I think I want to go to church with you. And he looked at me like deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. He's like, we'll be leaving in 20 minutes. I'm like, okay, I'll go change. And it was funny because, like, even halfway on the way to church, because he, you know, he gave me a ride, like, halfway there, I'm like, what even is the name of your church? Because I had no idea. I knew nothing. But it was. And it just, I think because he was just how he lived. And it was, you know, in my brain, it was, you know, this young couple, they're cool.
Yeah.
You know, they're cool. They're neat people. I was, you know, I was kind of looking to settle down in my life, not be as crazy and carefree as I was, but it was, I was like, you know, these people are cool. You know, they seem really normal.
Yeah.
And worst case, you know, if going to that church is what turned them into this, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know, if, 'cause worst case scenario, I'll see some cool people and I might make some friends.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just, it was one of those things that it was, I saw the qualities they were living out in their lives.
Yeah.
Without them saying Jesus, without them saying the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want what's in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I did. I came to church that Friday night, and it's just, I wanted to keep coming back, and I couldn't get enough. And
yeah.
Now here I am. And what was funny kind of about that follow up was he told me years later of all the people throughout his life and especially adult life and all the people that he's invited to church. He said I was the one that he least expected to ever walk through the doors.
And here you are.
Yeah.
And here you are.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tyler.
Yes.
Yeah. But it is, it's one of those where, they witnessed with everything they had.
Yeah.
And when they needed to, they used words.
Yeah.
And it's like, my dad used to say that to me and my brothers when we were, growing up. It's like, you witness with everything that you are. And when you have to, you use the words, but if you can't back what it is that you're saying, shut up.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. Right? Because it's like, even in the Bible where it's like, woe to you who, leads anybody astray, like, you know, especially like a little one or something, they're talking about little kids. But I think just, and woe to you, you're a brand new Christian, right? You're a baby, a baby in Christ. And it's like, woe to you for anybody that would lead somebody away from that. Just based off of, you know, like you're turning people away. Like I there was a part of me that wanted to walk up to the gentleman that was on the corner and just look at him very respectfully and ask him the question, how many people have come up to you and received Christ? Is this working for you? I just want to know. And if it is, man, I'm not trying to squash you, but from my perspective, from where I'm standing, like, we're literally watching the crowd around us, like, they're getting hateful. They're starting to, like, get, they're mocking him. And it was really, you know, part of me is like, Father, do we do something? And it's like, just pray.
Yeah.
Just pray. Just speak, pray in tongues, or just hum. Again, we know I hum.
Yes.
And just reestablish the atmosphere, because there is a spiritual battle above you right now.
Yeah.
And you need to take dominion.
And I wouldn't even, you know, want to go up to him and say, you know, how many people have you brought to Christ? I'd be like, how many people from what you're doing, how many people want to learn more?
That I mean, that's it. Yeah. Like, that's the question. Because then we were met at the beginning of the line when we were finally about to go to, into the building.
The building,
here's a Scientology guy.
Yeah.
Very quiet, very for the most part, he's just handing out pamphlets, asking, you know,
do you want to learn more?
And asking questions and being very open to and just very respectful for the most part. We had to push him back a little bit because he was getting a little aggressive with our little guy.
Yeah.
And no, thank you. No. And I had put my hand.
I was going to say, I had my hand on the other side of him too. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
And him just nodding and letting us go about our way. But it was like, between the two of them, which is the better? I mean, we, our sweet friend, John, you know, he, when we were telling the story, he says, well, I actually used to do that. And there's like, we're not objecting against, you know, maybe speaking the goodness of God from a street corner. Like, we're not objecting to any of, if that's what the Holy Spirit calls you to do, do it. But make sure your motivation, the love, it's the love and the kindness of God that brings people to repentance. It's not, it's not creating a place of condemnation. God didn't come to condemn.
Yeah. Cause even I said today, you know, when we were talking about, you know, that situation, I was like, you know, it might have been more impactful carrying around like a cooler full of water and handing out water bottles and just checking on people like, hey, how you doing? Oh man, that's a really cool costume, man. How many hours did it take for you to make that?
Yes.
You know, like we saw a couple of young ladies that like handmade their costumes. Yeah.
Willy Wonky. They were in
Wonka.
Thank you, babe. Yeah. Wow. Okay. But and I'd even asked them, I said, did you hand make those or did you buy them? We made them ourselves. And I said, oh my gosh, you did a fantastic job. And she lit up like a Christmas tree. Yeah. And we just kept moving because the line kept moving.
Yeah, and we were moving in opposite directions these young ladies. But it was, you know, it's, you know, because it's one of those things that it's like if you were pulling like one of those wheeled coolers full of, you know, bottles of water.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like hot that day, but I mean, how many people would have appreciated it. A drink?
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, and you could, if you wanted to, write a couple short, easy to read scriptures on your cooler.
Or if you had cards from your church or something, just pass them out.
But again, just, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know, are you from KC?
Yeah.
Or did you travel?
Yeah.
You know, was it a good trip?
Yeah.
You know, hey, you want some water? I'm giving out water today.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like if they want to strike up something further, you know, like, well, why are you handing out water? You know what? I'm a Christian. I just wanted to hand out water.
I just wanted to take care of people today. Is there anything that like I can pray with you about or just, you know, or just bless them?
Yeah. And it can be that simple.
Sincerely.
You know, and it's kind of, you know, and it's like earlier when we were talking about this and, you know, this situation and we're contemplating kind of what led to talking about this topic and what we are recording about was, you know, again, it's like, how do I want to say this? You know, it's like, we are giving serious consideration into getting into like marriage coaching.
Yes.
You know, we don't know 100% what it's called, what the words are, what it would look like.
Yeah.
Anything like that, but we're doing our research and we're looking into it. Because for those of you that have listened to us, we have a huge heart for marriages, for relationships and just wanting to see them thrive and be strengthened and to be as successful to successfully, I'm tripped up in a middle word. But it's like we want to see marriages successfully attain the full potential of heaven.
Mm. Wow, babe, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what was having trouble coming out of my
mouth. No, that's good.
You know, but in that, we're not going to stand on a street corner or go into church and watch the people and go up to somebody and say, hey, Jack and Jan, or no, that's bad.
That's
we know
actually
them.
Some
we know
pastors.
People. John and Jane.
There we go. Okay.
John and Jane Smith. Sure. John and Jane Doe.
That sounds good.
You know, we've noticed you guys don't look happy when you come to church. Do you guys need to sit down and have some coaching so we can fix this? You know, it's like, how bad is that?
Yeah. Gosh, that's cringy.
I know, right? Yeah. But, you know, but again, we just want to be like, you know, hey, we're not friends yet.
Yeah.
We want to be friends. Do you want to go out and eat food together?
Yeah.
You know, and just chat.
Yeah.
You know, get into each other's lives and learn your story. You know, maybe we can share our story.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's just, it's getting into lives. It's getting people to talk. It's just learning about the people that you're walking this life with.
Yes.
You know, I guess in a way it's like, especially if you're like doing church together, because there's like so much, it's like you don't have to be friends with the people that you go to church with, but
I think it helps.
It does.
I think it helps tremendously, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
And not that you have to be buddy-buddy, but, you know, to a degree. Friendship to a degree.
Yeah. And maybe it's more of just, you don't have to be friends with the whole congregation.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a good thing to be friendly. It's a good thing to have a rapport with people.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice when somebody knows that you're in the church, that you're part of the church, right? That they see you. And you and I are really good at seeing people.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that are like, they're legitimately look like they're trying to hide. And it's just, hi, yeah. How are you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're here. And again, you don't have to go, cause there's a lot of people, I can almost feel it. There's probably a lot of people who are like, this freaks me out. Like, I don't, I'm not naturally an outgoing person. And I just want to go, you don't necessarily have to be. You just allow the Spirit of God inside you to direct you, to fill your mouth with words. All you have to do is just approach and open it up, right? Like, again, the vendor that's in the bathroom, like she's a comic book editor, creator, person, illustrator, something of that nature. She was letting all sorts of just words and stuff happen and just fly out of her mouth. I'm not saying anything. I'm so sorry. You are welcome to go in front of me. You guys have places to go or you only have one kidney. So my gosh, go ahead and get in front of me. And then as I'm walking away, blessing her day and saying, hey, I wish nothing but the best for you and that you're successful today.
Yeah.
Blessing her.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you don't know what that's going to do to somebody. There's going to be, I'm a firm believer that there are going to be people that we encounter in heaven that are going to come up to us and just simply say, you know, I'm here because of you. Like, I hope so. I hope so, because there's days I'm like, Father, I don't think I've led people to the Lord, but like, not like led people to the Lord, like a bunch, you know?
Yeah.
But I've also learned that it takes all of us. There's people that are going to be planting it. There's people that get to water it. I feel like I'm a really good waterer. Like I feel like a watering can most days. Like I'm just going to pour out the kindness of God on you right now. And maybe like just help grow whatever it is that somebody else might have planted inside of you, whether it was your grandma, whether even if it was some church hurt, maybe that helped heal a space for you. So that way, the next time you encounter somebody, like you encounter the one true living God, he doesn't freak you out because you encountered somebody that's already been encountered by him.
Yeah. You're also good at weeding.
Oh.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Like sometimes, you know, like when you're clearing out the junk.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Because again, I look and I say one of your superhero abilities is to find that treasure inside of people and bringing it out.
Hmm.
You know, whether that's clearing away the muck, the mire, the weeds, the thorns, you know, it's nurturing that thing inside of people so that they can see what's inside of them.
Amen. That's who we all should be. I just genuinely believe that. You know what I mean? And that's who Jesus was. He's the one that would go in. He wouldn't look at he saw the sin, but he saw the person.
And I think that's why you're good at like reaching out and encouraging like the wallflowers.
Oh.
Where it's like, I'll see them, but I'm like, I see a wallflower, but I too am a wallflower. So I will stay over here.
That's probably why I grabbed you.
That is why you grabbed me. That's one of the reasons you grabbed me, yes.
And then you're good. Listen, y'all, my wallflower is really good at pointing out the wallflowers and then telling me to go get them.
Yeah.
Hey, babe.
Yeah.
You might want to go get that one. You need to go talk to them.
Sick them.
Your friend's here. Look.
Yeah.
You're very good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aw. But I think living out loud on purpose.
Yeah.
Realizing that we were all created on purpose for a purpose. That God was very intentional about the timing that he brought us onto this earth. He could have put us in time at any given moment.
Yeah.
But for such a time as this, we were born.
Yes.
And for such a time as this, there's other people around us that need us specifically, strategically, to touch and reach out and to remind them that there's goodness out there, yeah. that there's more good than bad, that as much as the enemy right now is kicking up his heels and looks so much bigger, the fact is he's being exposed.
Yeah.
And the power and the presence of God is still greater still. Mm-hmm. And we get to be that hope. Like Heather has her tattoos on her hands now that give hope.
Yeah.
And I love David Park's shirt every time he wears it. We should be hope dealers.
Yeah.
We should be people that are walking around reminding that life is worth living.
Yes.
That we have a God that is very much on the throne and that he hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten any of us.
Yeah.
And so just go let your light shine.
Yeah.
And then let people ask questions later.
That's right.
Because you might get to bring a Luke to the table.
That's right.
And that's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
I am still forever truly appreciative and indebted to Tyler.
Yes.
Because he decided to just be your friend.
Yep.
And to love you. And then God did the rest.
Yep.
It's that easy, guys.
Yes, it is.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it. I think we hit everything on the head.
Okay, guys. It's spring, almost.
Almost.
In Missouri. I hope you sort of. Yeah. Tomorrow. Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We're still in winter. It's fine. Spring is sprung-ish. But go be amazing. We pray the most beautiful blessings over every one of your lives. And we're asking that God illuminates people along your path.
Yeah.
To show you who needs to be brought to the table.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have the best week.
Enjoy the journey.